So the first speaker of our last session is Dr. Cecilia Monclova Santana, screening cotton varieties for the reaction to Fusarium wilt in southern high plains.
Thank you, everyone, for being here. I know, like, most of you. So I'm the new assistant professor in section plant pathologist, working with cotton and peanuts mainly, but I also work with other farmers, like green beans, lavender, whatever comes through my door. So today I'll be talking about Fusarium wilt, and this work was done in collaboration with Terry Wheeler. Actually, Terry was the moving force in the whole thing. I started my position in July 1st, so she did the bulk of it. First of all, I would like to talk a little bit of the importance of cotton in our area. But here, the red area around Lubbock, it's cotton acres. So about 36 million acres are planted every year. It changed, but roughly that's the amount. So basically, two-thirds of the total Texas cotton production takes place in the southern high plains, which translates into 25 to 30% of the total U.S. cotton production, which also translates into 3 to 5% of the worldwide cotton production. So it's a very hot area for cotton and diseases. So the major problem is the root knot nematode, and Robert was talking a little bit about the interaction with Fusarium. One of the things is that when the root knot gets into the cell, so it breaks through, and then anything else can come, and Fusarium oxysporum formis specialis vas infectum gets in. So basically, it's like someone knocking down your door, and then anyone can come in. That's the deal here with race one. In 2010, Jason Woodward worked in collaboration with other scientists, and they characterized four different races in the area, race one, two, three, and eight. And race four had been reported only in El Paso area. Lucky us, it's not reported. Hopefully we'll stay that way, fingers crossed, for a while. After the fungus enters the tissue, it goes to the vascular system, causing necrosis. So it will start killing it, causing some wilting symptoms that I will show you in a bit. This is how the fungus looks like in selective media. This is microcnidia. And this one over here is kind of important. These kind of spores, I call it the lollipop spore, which is chlamydia spores. That's the overwintering structure, which is very important because it overwinters in the soil and plant debris. So Fusarium wilt is how we call the disease, and we can see the symptoms, the wilting symptoms, because it's infecting the vascular system. So we don't have that water and nutrient movement as in a healthy one. And you can see over here the wilting leaves, and it also causes in yellowing, progressive yellowing on the lower leaves. Here, it's a picture on a very hot field, and you can see how some spots are just completely dead. So the germination is also affected. So we decided to screen some varieties for resistant to root knot, because we are under the impression that if you have resistant to root knot, we might get resistant to Fusarium wilt, because Fusarium wilt needs the root knot to get in. So we screened varieties from NextGen, Stoneville, Phytogen, Delta Fine, Fibermax, and also Copeland Genetics. And we run three different field tests in three different locations. One in Hall County, which is the Turkey area. Other one in Lynn County. And the third one in Gaines County, Seminole area. So these are some of the results. The first bar graph is the lint yield in pounds per acre, and then the other one is the root knot quantity per 500 cc of soil. And the color code is the mean differences. So instead of letters, I used colors. And you can see over here that the most yielding variety was Stoneville 4946 GLB2, which when we look at the amount of nematodes was pretty low. It is over here. From these old varieties, we picked two of them to run a greenhouse experiment that I will show you the results in a bit with different isolates that we collected. So over here, you can see Delta Pine 1747 that we used in the greenhouse experiment. So it doesn't have any significant differences with the Stoneville, but it does with the Delta Pine 1835 in this case. And when we looked at the amount of nematodes that were collected in the soil, it is over here. So it is pretty low compared to other ones. Also, I would like to draw your attention to Delta Pine 1522 B2XF because that one we used in all of three different locations. So in the Seminole Gaines County location, it didn't have significant differences in terms of yield, but it was pretty low in terms of the amount of nematodes. And this field, the farmer, which is Chuck Rollins, he rotates with peanuts, so just to put it out there. In the Turkey, which is the Hall County, the farmer had more water, so the yield was way higher than in the other two locations. And we can see here we added more varieties to test, and Phytogen was the one that was like really impressive. It was outstanding in terms of yield and also the amount of nematode that really reproduced on it. So it was very low, which they look very promising for us, but we didn't use any of the other two locations. We can see, again, Delta Pine 1747 in the high-yielding ones. And however, in the root knot, it's kind of in the middle. It has significant differences compared to Delta Pine 1820, which had almost 14,000 nematodes on the sample. And Stoneville 4946, in terms of yield, it's pretty decent. And it was very low in terms of the root knot nematode. So it's kind of like a promising. And if you compare it, you can see the trend of the variety. Again, Delta Pine 1522, which we used in all three locations. In terms of yield, it's not as high yielding as others. And in this location, it had a little bit more nematodes. Moving on, our third location, we can see Stoneville 4946 being the top yielding one again, which had a very similar yield like Fibermax 1621 and then Phytogen, one of the experimental lines from Phytogen. And in terms of the amount of root knot was also in the lower end. So again, all three locations varieties behaved similarly compared across all of them. Delta Pine 1747 was in the top ones and in the lower end in terms of root knot. And then Delta Pine 1522, which was across all three locations, was similar in terms of yield, and it was in the lower end in terms of nematodes. So we decided to do a relationship between the root knot galls at 30 days after planting, and we can see like a negative relationship between the yield and also the galls in the root system. So the more galling, the less yield that we observed, which it's what we would expect. So I would like to just show a picture how a tolerant cultivar looks in the field compared to a susceptible one. This one was in Gaines County, so which is a pretty hot field. Even though the distribution is not as uniform, it is pretty high. So it was very interesting to see how the variety could really make a difference in terms of, you know, yield and growers. And using resistant cultivars is still the number one preferred method to control nematodes and to control diseases. It's more eco-friendly and cost-effective. So let's move on to the greenhouse studies. I mentioned before or earlier that we decided to go with Delta Pine 1747 because it was one of the top yielding ones, and Stoneville 4946, which was number one or very, very in the top yielding varieties, and in the lower end in terms of nematodes. Delta Pine 1747 is root knot resistant, but Fusarium wilt susceptible. And Stonebill 4946 is root knot partial resistant and Fusarium wilt resistant. We also use Acala NemX, which is root knot partially resistant and Fusarium wilt susceptible. So we try to combine it just to see how they behave in terms of the genes. We did it in 16 ounces cups, and this is an effective one with the symptoms that we're looking at, so that vascular necrosis. So let's dive into the results. Here we can see the blue ones is Delta Pine 1747. The red bar is Stoneview 4946. And then the gray one is Nemex. And we can see here how Stoneview 4946 was the one overall that had lower amount of, in this case, root necrosis, and in the other case, percent of stem necrosis, because we decided to record both ratings. And over here, we can see also kind of like a trend in Stoneville 4946. When we conducted an ANOVA analysis, Stoneville was significantly different from Nemex. However, Delta Pine and Stoneville were similar in terms, there were no significant differences in terms of variety. And in terms of isolate, number 10 was significantly more aggressive than other ones in the lower end. The number has no relation in terms of, you know, the isolate, but this isolate number 10 was isolated from the O'Donnell site, which is in the Linn County. So just to wrap it up a little bit, Stoneville 4946 was the best performing variety in the field and also in the greenhouse, significantly different in terms of yield and also disease resistance to root knot and Fusarium wilt. And then Delta Pine 1747, what we can see a little bit of tolerance on it, it's still good to use in the field and also in the greenhouse studies was very nice results too. However, Stoneville 4946 was better. So in the future, we are working with quantifying the amount of inoculum in the field in Fusarium wilt race one. And also we are doing all the molecular characterizations. So we want to identify which kind of races we are dealing with. And with this, I would like to acknowledge, I always say in my presentations that it's very little that what we can accomplish by ourselves. So working in a team, we can go further. And I would like to thank Dr. Terry Wheeler for helping me doing all of this and guide me through these first 6 months of my employment. Also Dr. Jane Deaver, Tom Isakita, and Mauricio Ulloa for all the help. And last but not least, our funding source, the Plains Cotton Improvement Program, thank you. Program and Cotton Incorporated and Texas A&M AgriLife Extension. With that, is there any question?